Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
There's a lot of confusion these days about law and grace. Law seems to be something to be avoided at all costs, because everyone knows we are under grace, not under the law. So if anyone would mention the importance of actually obeying God, he is immediately called down as a legalist. Well, the reformers of the Reformation days actually had a lot to say about this matter, and is very instructive to us today. Why is law so important to you that you could not be listening to this broadcast without it? Find out why in just a few minutes, right here on Skies Revival Radio.
I see you in the light. I see you when you're all alone. I see you when you're crying. When your heart's with I'm standing right beside you. Don't think you are alone, 'cause my heart is bleeding too. Yes, my heart is broken for you. Hear me calling to you. Hear me calling.
Hi, welcome to Skies Revival Radio. This is Tom from the Sky Family. We've just started an instructive new series called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life, which, among other things, takes a look at the laws of God to examine what place they have in the life of a New Testament Christian. To do this, I'm going to direct us back to the basic tenets of the Reformation in order to establish an understanding of the relationship between law and grace. This is a very pertinent subject today, so I hope you'll find this study to be very engaging and helpful. As we go into this week's lesson, I'll preface it by saying that though we can be forgiven of our sins through repentance by Jesus' blood shed for us, yet there are still consequences for our behavior. There are undeniable things that result from breaking God's laws. Take, for example, that we break God's law by committing adultery, or in common terms, having an affair. The person who had the affair can be repentant and can be forgiven, but there are certain consequences that cannot be fixed through forgiveness alone. There will still be great strife in the marriage. There could easily be an unwanted child. Or even more insidious, there is a veil or a separation that comes between us and God if we don't thoroughly turn from our sin. Sin separates us from God. Does He condemn us to hell for failing or for falling into sin once? No, on the contrary, He stands ready to forgive and to cleanse those who have fallen. But there are consequences that deeply affect us every time we do what is wrong. And this is what we're going to explore today. Why are there consequences for sin, even though we can be forgiven through Jesus' atonement? Let's just jump right in and start the lesson. The blessings and the penalty of the law. Let us think a little bit about the importance of law itself in our lives. Though we all complain about laws and how restrictive they are, yet if there were no law, it means you could be in your home and someone could walk in while you're watching TV, take your TV and leave. Or they could take your child and leave. Or they could not leave. They could just move into your house. And so it's because of the laws that we have some security. Law brings peace, law brings order and safety to society. Without law, there is anarchy. That means whoever is the strongest takes what they want from the weaker. There is no protection, and people live in complete fear. So law itself is an instrument of God to bring security to all people. Remember that. Let's say that again. Law itself is an instrument of God to bring security to all people. However, as we examine this closely, we see it's not exactly the law itself that keeps us in safety. Telling somebody that they shouldn't do something does not in itself deter anyone from lawless behavior. It is because there is a system to enforce the law. So in reality, it is the penalty of the law that makes us safe in our homes. If there were no penalty, people would laugh at the law and then do whatever they wanted. Without a penalty, there is no law. Let's examine that statement. Let's say an enlightened governor made up a list of rules and regulations which would cause the citizens to live happily and prosperously with each other. And he concluded it by saying that he had just dismissed the entire police force because he felt they were too intimidating. He was hoping his good constituents would willingly comply. He hoped that they would obey. And of course, we all know what the results of this would be. Just as an aside, amazingly, this idea has become the essence of our modern child-raising techniques. But common sense tells us that the laws would be disregarded immediately. Why? Because human nature does not like to be restrained at all. Human nature will always take advantage of any leniency in order to get what it wants. However, when there is a real and meaningful penalty, people are discouraged from breaking the law. They neither want to be fined nor jailed. Where there's strictly enforced uniform penalties, people are actually afraid to break the law, and so the law holds up. Peace and security reign in the nation while people are obeying the law. And thus we can see that to have a penalty for breaking the law is absolutely necessary. Without a penalty, the law becomes a mere suggestion. Let's refer back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, where we read last week. This chapter can be summed up by saying, obeying the law brings blessing, breaking the law brings penalty. Because of the penalty, those who ignore the law find their lives to be exceedingly miserable. They're constantly on edge, worried about the law, scared of punishment, or they've been caught and they're being punished. However, for those who keep the law, they find there are great benefits from being law-abiding. Those who obey the law find that rather than being restricted, they actually have tremendous freedom. Those who can't resist the urge to speed in their car find themselves penalized. They want the freedom to go fast, but instead they get their license suspended and they can't even drive. But for those who obey the law, they have the ability to drive from coast to coast with no restriction any time of day or night, any destination, total freedom. That's what comes from keeping the law or living within the limits of the law. Now, with that in mind, we go back to the question we asked earlier. Why am I so empty? Why is my life so empty? Why am I not fulfilled? Why am I not happy? I have all of these things. Everything seems to be in place, but instead of being happy, I just have this gnawing emptiness. That's why we're here explaining this today, so that you can understand where that emptiness comes from. Now, simply put, just as there are civil laws that govern us in our communities, there are spiritual laws set up by God to govern our behavior. If we break those laws, either the civil laws or the spiritual laws, we will pay the price. Break the law and pay the price. Obey the law. Enjoy your life. So the emptiness that we so commonly experience in our daily life is not because of our circumstances so much as the fact that so often we are breaking laws that we don't even know about. We are breaking spiritual laws. We're ramming right through God's laws of behavior without even realizing it. And because of that, we are paying the consequences. The consequence is that emptiness that you feel in your heart. It is that veil. It's that separation between you and God. It's the absence of joy. This is all part of the penalty of breaking God's laws, whether we do it willfully or we do it ignorantly. Now, most people don't even know that there are spiritual laws, let alone keep them. And these laws are strictly monitored. There really are consequences for breaking them. In our community, there are police who enforce the law. If you break it, you're notified immediately and you pay the consequences. But with God's laws, there are no policemen per se. There's only the penalties. Behavior that breaks his law automatically brings a consequence. That consequence or penalty may be in the form of an outward punishment, such as the open exposing of our hidden sins, or it may be the loss of our marriage because of secret infidelity, but all the time, it is the resounding emptiness that accompanies pushing away from God. The book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 25 says, "For he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong that he has done, and that without partiality." So here we see this wonderful balance that so many people are struggling with. We feel like we can be forgiven through Jesus, which we can totally by repentance. We can be forgiven, and yet still there are consequences for our sins. As we read Deuteronomy 28 closely, we see that there's one little twist in God's enforcement system, and that is that the penalty or the consequence of breaking his law does not come to us instantly. It says, "But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe all of his commandments and statutes, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Notice it says they will come upon you and overtake you. In another version, it says they will pursue you and overtake you. Now that is very significant. It means that the penalty is delayed. So it's more like a penalty that is written out and stamped with our name on it and then mailed to us. A good example of that is a speeding ticket. In many places, if you speed while you're driving, you will not be penalized on the spot. Rather, you will receive a summons in the mail about a month later, and then you'll have to pay the fine. So there's a delay between actually breaking the law and then having to pay the penalty. On your first speeding offense, you might be tempted to think that you got away with it. But sooner or later, that fine will catch up to you, informing you that you have to pay up or take the consequences. Now, that is a very good example of how things work with God's laws. There is a delay. So there's a time when you think you might be getting away with it. But the penalty is pursuing us, and it will overtake us. All of these things shall come upon you and overtake you. So every time we do something that's against God's law, there is a consequence and an automatic penalty. It's assigned to us, then it is sealed and sent with our name on it. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, "The sentence against an evil deed is not executed quickly. Therefore, the hearts of the sons of men among them are given fully to evil." Why are we so empty? We have broken God's laws for a long time, and the penalties are catching up with us. We are empty, unfulfilled, hopeless, afraid, and in despair because we are reaping the consequences of breaking laws that we didn't even know existed. God's laws are radioactive. If you think this isn't fair, consider this. Those who first began working in the nuclear field didn't have any understanding of the laws of radiation. And as a consequence, they were exposed to something completely invisible and undetected. Over time, because of their ignorance of those laws of physics, they developed deadly diseases. In the same way, when we break God's laws, we develop deadly diseases. And just like it was greatly in their favor to learn the laws of radiation, so it is our best possible good to learn what God's laws are, so that we can start to escape the results of breaking those laws. God's laws govern the heart. Here's another interesting thing about the laws of God and how they differ from the laws of our community. The civil laws govern our outward behavior, while God's laws govern our inward behavior as well. The civil law prevents us only from stealing. God's law prevents us from even wanting to steal. The civil law steps in to prevent us from murdering. God's law steps in to prevent us from even being angry with someone. So you could be perfectly law-abiding in terms of the civil government, not stealing, not killing, etc. And at the same time, you could be breaking God's laws all day long. Every time we are jealous or spiteful or angry or selfish or arrogant or rude or lustful or proud or vain, we are breaking God's laws which govern the heart. Then, without us even knowing it, every time we break God's laws, We have a consequence. We have a penalty that begins to pursue us. That penalty pursues us and overtakes us no matter where we are or what we're doing. We think for a time that we're getting away with it, but it's not possible to escape the consequences of breaking God's laws. And remember from Colossians 3:25 that it doesn't matter who we are or who we think we are, God's law is impartial. This makes us, or this should make us, very anxious to find out what the laws of God are so that we can escape the consequences. But that puts us into an even greater dilemma. Simply learning about the penalty of the law does not stop us from breaking it. I'm going to leave you right there with that cliffhanger so that you can be thinking about it during the week. And next week, we will discuss the solution and the resolution of this great dilemma that learning about the penalty of the law does not stop us from breaking it. Let's end with a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we need you to write your laws on our hearts so that we have a new nature that loves to do what is right. Lord, when we see the things that we are doing wrong, we are powerless to stop ourselves. We pray, O Lord, that you would be our righteousness, that you would be our deliverer, that you would be our rescuer. Please come to our aid, O Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Be sure to visit skiesrevivalradio.com, where you'll find many encouraging resources, including the first book of our Revival Begins With You series. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door into Radiant Life, and it's available in hard copy or download. You'll also find Celtic Revival music CD and other uplifting materials there. We look forward to getting together with you again next week.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. Or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
that's when I stopped.